Judy, I think that word you shared with me the other day is appropriate, and I'd like you to share it with us, if you would.
When I was here for Wednesday service, the Lord showed me something that I thought about today, even as you said that about the stragglers. Oh, what a confirmation. He showed me a circus, a three-ring circus, and there was activities going on in each one, and it was exciting. And there was a whole bleachers were full of people. And over here was our congregation sitting in these bleachers, and some people I didn't know. And the Lord said, there's a three-ring circus going on in the church, but I want you to stay here. And by you, I knew he meant corporately, to stay here because I've got a path for you to travel on. And what he showed me was about as wide as this aisle, and I thought it was dry and cracked. And I got down off the bleachers and onto this path, and it wasn't dry and cracked. It was wet, and the water had made like little rivulets. And I dropped to my knees. He said, this path is the path that's been paved by the tears of the saints, the prayers and the tears of the saints. And it was a wet, muddy path. And at the end of it, I could see a light, but I saw the blood of Jesus Christ. And he said, keep going. Stay on this path. Stay on this path and don't stop praying. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw one person stick their head up out of that crowd. And they were curious, and they got up out of the bleachers, and they started walking over to us. And somebody else looked over here. And so it's the prayers of the saints, the tears of the intercessors. We have to. We can't forget that. And what Pastor said is the same thing. Stay on that path.
On the right path. And we've been talking about hearing the voice of God. And in Hebrews 3, in verse 15, it says, today, everybody say today. If you will hear his voice, today, if you will hear, if not whether or not you hear, but if you will listen, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. There are many who hear God's voice, but they don't listen. They harden their heart to what God is saying. There are even those who acknowledge that what God says is good and that it's even right, but they harden their hearts to that word. They don't really receive it. Are you with me? Jesus said, you can hear, but not hear. And so we've got to be a people that are, first of all, open to God and say, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to know what you have to say, because your voice is life to me. Your voice is my bread. I live on your voice. Your voice is life to me. When God speaks, it's life-giving. Even when God corrects us, it's life-giving. It's always full of life. Whatever God does is always redemptive. It's always with good intention. It's always pure and holy. So whenever God spoke anything, when he speaks something, it's for the end to be better than it is presently, even when he's correcting. Are we willing to listen is the question. Because it's like this. The more that we resist his voice, the more that we hear but don't hear, the more calloused our hearts can become. And so God is saying today, right now, in this dispensation of time, if you will hear my voice. You see, sometimes we're saying, God, speak to me. God, how come you don't talk to me? And the truth is, God is talking to you. He is talking to me. The question is, are we listening when he speaks? You see, it's not when we determine for him to speak. He will speak when he wants to speak, because he's God and we're not. But when God speaks, we've got to be willing to listen. Amen. Not just hear it, but listen and obey. Because His voice is life. His words are life-giving. He said, these very words I speak unto you are spirit. You don't see words, but words are powerful. Words produce life or death. You can speak life or death with your tongue. But when God speaks, it's redemptive. God is love, and so when love speaks, even in correction, even when there is judgments, when God had declared judgments or spoken that judgment was about to come upon Israel, God had always given a promise beyond that, and God had always given them an alternative. You see, God is not willing that anyone should perish, and so God has given us an alternative. You can either perish because you refuse to hear His voice, or you can listen to His voice and be saved. Are you with me?
Yep.
So God gives an alternative. Why? Because He doesn't force us to obey Him. He wants us to choose to obey Him because we love Him. You don't want your husband to love you because you told him to love you. You've got to love me. It says right here, you've got to love me. That wouldn't be love. All right, love, love, love. All right, all of you, come on over here. You don't want your wife to do the same thing, right? You want it to be a choice, a willing heart to say, I love you, and I want to love you. When we love people, we don't say things that hurt them. When we love others, we don't do anything that's going to hurt them. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Sometimes we accidentally do that. Of course, you've never done that, but I have. Especially when you're preaching day in and day out. Eventually, you're going to say something. You say, now, I wish I could take that back. But you know what, folks? We need to get below the surface to the heart of the matter. And so often we judge by appearance, we judge by things that are said on the surface. You know, people can say all the right things, and yet their heart can be completely not in it. I can say things from here. I can preach a doctrinally correct message, and yet if my heart's not right, you're going to know that. It's the delivery, amen? The spirit by which I'm speaking. And the same thing is true with others. Are we hearing from God? The question is God speaking? And the answer is yes. And the second question is, are we listening? And the answer is, now don't say yes if you're not listening, because that would be a lie. And we have to have an altar call right now. When God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Holy Spirit within us cries out, Abba, Father. Yeah. There's a delight in the Father. There's a delight to do His will. There's a willingness in us. Would you agree there's a willingness to do right? We don't always do right, but there's a willingness when you're in Christ. You desire that. And so God is trying to teach us through circumstances, through His Word. Amen? Through the written word, through others, through life in general, God is teaching us how to know and identify His voice. The voice of the Good Shepherd that cuts through all the noise and the confusion. Because there are so many voices today, if we are not able to identify His voice, then we're going to start listening to the wrong voice. And the enemy is good at getting God's people onto rabbit trails, and even rabbit trails that have good appearance. That in and of themselves may not be evil, but that they're evil and that it's not God's path for you. You were listening to the wrong voice. Wednesday night, God really downloaded a message about holiness. And what is holiness? And you've heard it said that holiness is not something that you and I achieve, that we can work up somehow. Holiness is someone, all right, you receive. Christ is our holiness. Otherwise, it would be by our performance or our works. And so when you and I try to be holy, independent of the Holy One, we're unholy. When we try to live for God independent of God, come on. There's a lot of people that know this book pretty good, but don't know God. So they're trying to live for God based upon the letter without knowing God. You can't live for God unless you know God. You can't live for God independent of God. And yet it happens, and the enemy is constantly trying to get us to put ourselves back into the place of self-savior. Trust in your ability, and therefore, then we have something to boast about among ourselves and say, well, I'm glad I'm not like other men. You know, when Christians become self-righteous, they become snoots, you know. And the world that's trying to come to Jesus, sometimes they're blocked by that kind of attitude that sometimes Christians who have forgotten that it wasn't by their works, but by the grace of God that they're even in the covenant today. If we forget that, then we start to put the credit upon ourselves, and we start to get proud, and then we start to compare ourselves with others, and we start to shut the door on those who are trying to come in. Self-righteousness. It's the leaven of the Pharisees. I'm going to read a quote from Stuart Holden. Holiness is not human life brought up to the highest possible development, but it is divine life brought down to the lowest possible level of condescension. First, the recipient of God's holiness must be brought down to the lowest level of contriteness before the Lord. In order for us to be in position to receive the grace of the Lord, we must be humbled before the Lord. We can't come before God with our boast list, you know, and say, well, God, I've really done a good job today. Look at all the wonderful things I've done. Now, God, give me my request. How many know that God doesn't answer your request because you're so good? As a matter of fact, if you want to please God, the only thing that's going to please Him is your faith in Him. Without faith, it's impossible, Hebrews 11:6, to please Him. Amen? So we come before the Lord as empty vessels, as people who recognize that we are poor in spirit, that we really don't have anything that we didn't first receive from Him. Whatever talents, whatever abilities, whatever gifts, people in the world are, you know, they're out boasting about how, and they're competing against one another, and I'm a little better than you, and if I get to the top of the pile, I'll be happy, and, you know, I'll have arrived. And many people, they get to the top of the pile, and they realize, well, what's next? Because it's not what I thought it was. Because a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. And that includes just because we have a talent of some type, and maybe we're better in some areas than others are. We need to remember that it was because of God and His grace. We are recipients. We are receivers, not achievers. He achieved for us. So holiness is by abiding in the Holy One. We receive holiness from Christ, who is our holiness. You see, when the heart is in union with Him, communion with Jesus, then holiness will be the fruit of your life. Sometimes we get the cart before the horse. I'm working at it. I'm trying. Quit trying and start doing. Quit trying and start doing. You can do all things through Christ. No, you can't do it, but He can. And quit trying to do it and start doing it in the power of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God has given us His Holy Spirit to empower us, to enable us to live a life that is pleasing to Him. So again, holiness is, you know, not you and I achieving merit with God or coming, our human life being brought up to some kind of level that the world says, wow, are you holy? But it was God reaching down to a broken, humble individual who says, God, I realize that in myself, there's no good thing. I have come to the conclusion that I cannot live for You. And so I need Your grace now. I'm coming to You to worship You, to bow down before You, and I'm asking You, God, to grant me the grace and the mercy that I need to help me. Because independent of You, I can't live for You. And sometimes that's exactly what we try to do. We try to live for God independent of Him. Are you with me? How many know that Jesus is coming for a holy church? Does it mean that He's coming for people that have their hair in a bun and button up to the top and walk around with a smugness? God, I thank You that I'm not like other men. Come on. The Pharisees were good at that. They loved to be greeted in the marketplaces. And they loved titles. They loved to be called Rabbi, Rabbi. And they loved the chief seat in the synagogue. They wanted to be in places of notoriety where people would say, wow, aren't you something? The Pharisees were good at demanding things from people, putting heavy loads upon the people, causing them to fall down under the burden of performance and self-righteous requirements that I have to do all these things. If I do all these things, if the checklist is checked off just right, that somehow now I will have achieved holiness and hopefully someday God will take me to heaven. And the very ones that were dumping all these heavy burdens on the people, they themselves were not living up to those standards. Why? Because independent of the Holy One, we cannot be holy.
Amen.
When Jesus said, be holy, for I am holy. He's saying the only way you're going to be holy is to be in Me. I make you holy. When your heart is right with God, when you're in communion with Jesus, when you're a worshiper of God, you will have holy fruit. As we abide in Christ, John 15, right? As we're abiding in Him, His Word abides in us. We are hearing the Word of God. We're hearing the voice of God. We're listening and obeying what God says. We're realizing that my life does not consist in anything except I live by the Word of God alone. He says, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from My Father's mouth. How do we abide in Him? By listening. Hearing His voice today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. The more that you resist, the harder you become. It is so easy for you and I to get off on rabbit trails. Are you with me?
Amen.
To get off that path that God has laid out for us. Sometimes we get caught up in the hype, in the pomp, in the ceremony. Come on, in some circles, Christianity has become nothing more than an entertainment hour on Sunday morning. Let's go and be entertained. Oh, that was a lovely sermon, Pastor. But did you hear it? I like good preaching. Hey, it's okay. You should like good preaching. But even more, you should be listening for the voice of God. You should love the voice of God. Look beyond the preacher. Look beyond the worshipers. Amen. Look beyond the people that are playing instruments and look to God. Amen. Only He can save us. How many know that a tree is known by its fruit? A tree does not produce fruit because it tries to. It abides in a place, right, where there is nourishment, there is water, there is sunshine in the right elements. There's nutrition, right, in the soil. And when a tree is planted in the right location, it will automatically bear fruit. You see, Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, the yoke, not talking about egg yolk, but like oxen, you would be yoked together, right? He's saying, put my yoke upon you. Yoke up with me because my yoke is easy, my burden's light. It's not a hard thing to follow Jesus. He's saying, hook up with me. Walk with me every day. Let's walk in love together. Amen. Let's enjoy each other's company, each other's fellowship. Hear my voice. I'm here. I'll guide you along the path. You're not going to be alone. Even if you feel like I'm not there, I'm still there. Yoke together, and you'll find that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. He's saying you will bear fruit as you abide in me and my word abides in you. If you're hearing my voice and you're following my direction, you will find life and peace in the Spirit. You'll find there is no condemnation. You're not walking around and did I do enough? Did I serve God? Did I please God enough? Because if that's your mentality, you're already in the wrong mindset because you're putting yourself in the position of pleasing God. The only thing that God is pleased about is that we trust Him, our faith in Him. Even Jacob, who was a supplanter, you know, he was always working it, you know, trying to get over on people. But God saw something in Jacob. He didn't say that was okay, but He saw something below the surface of Jacob's life. And He saw a heart that was passionate for God. We look at the men throughout the Scripture. Great men of God, and yet most of them failed miserably sometime in their life. And yet there was something about them that God approved of, that God was pleased with, and how they even made it into the Scriptures, amen, for us to look at today. It's because they had faith in God. They were men of faith. They believed God. When they heard His word, they said yes. Maybe not initially, but eventually they said yes. Moses argued with God for a while, but God always wins out. Jonah argued with God for a while, but God always wins out. Some of you may be like Jonah. You're running away from your call. But guess what? God has a big fish out there. And the longer you run, the harder it's going to be when you fall. But the good news is that God will take you back if you run back to Him. I've discovered that it's always better just to say yes. Why put yourself through all that when you can just say, yes, Lord? Because I've discovered that when I say yes, that life is good in the God zone. That indeed His burden is light. His yoke is easy. Christianity is not supposed to be a struggle. Did you know that? The key is in our connection to Christ. It's all about staying connected through worship, through prayer, through meditation in the Word. Amen. Through songs and hymns and spiritual songs. By staying connected, we find life and peace, joy. I don't walk around in fear and condemnation, because when you're walking with Jesus, hallelujah, you have peace. You have assurance, blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You want to keep heaven in your heart? Praise the Lord. I can't give you any better advice, folks, than just praise the Lord continually as much as possible. Just stay in a mode of prayer and praise, prayer and praise, prayer and praise. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, no matter what's going on in your life, it may not make sense to the world, but in Christ, there's just this something about his peace that lifts you above all that mess. God wants you to soar on wings as eagles. He wants you and I to live above that stuff. In the Spirit, I'm free. In the Spirit, I'm alive. In the Spirit, I can fly. In the Spirit of the living God. There's truth. The knowledge of who he is. Of there's an invitation. That's what God says. Come. All ye who labor and are heavy laden. All of you who are stressed out and burdened down and trying to perform and trying to make it on your own, come to me. Learn of me. Let me teach you. Let me show you my way. For my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest for your soul. You find yourself getting stressed out, I can tell you, you can change the atmosphere. You can bring heaven into your heart by praising God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just praise him right now. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, Jesus, we bless you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. How many know that there's nothing new under the sun? In Ezekiel's day, there was a problem going on that's not unlike what we're dealing with today and what Judy had shared, the Lord showed her about the three-ring circus. He says in Ezekiel 33 and verse 30, as for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people, and they hear your words, but they do not do them. What are we talking about? Hearing. Not just hearing with our ears. For with their mouth, listen, they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. How many know that Jesus died on that cross? Not just to give us everything we want, but that we might be free to serve him. He didn't die just to free us to serve ourselves, folks. Are you with me? But he died to free us up from the penalty, the bondage of sin, that we might walk in the liberty of the new day, of the resurrection, of the new life in Christ. Hallelujah. So that we can run the race with perseverance, where we can serve the Lord gladly, serve the Lord wholeheartedly with the rest of our days. We are called to serve him. It's not about, give me this, give me that. What about my needs? What about my wants? What about my desires? It's, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. What can I do for you now? How can I serve you? How can I live for you the rest of my life? Lord, I want to hear your voice because I want to obey you and do what you say. I want to be a man of faith. I want to trust your word. I want to hear you. And when you speak, Lord, it's life to me. And then in verse 32, he says, indeed, he's speaking of Ezekiel, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear your words, but they do not do them. Let us not be like them, folks. Amen. Aren't you glad we're not like other people? In Luke chapter 17, verse 11, I just feel the Lord wants me to touch on this again today. How many know that there's a difference between being cleansed and being holy? Cleansing can be an instantaneous thing. You can go into the shower and get clean, right? I'm cleansed. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to remain cleansed. A pig can be washed. But if that pig gets back in the mud, it's going to get dirty. So there's a difference between being cleansed and then being holy. Holiness is a state of being. It's abiding in the Holy One. That's why Jesus said we must abide in Him, continue in Him and in His Word. If we don't, then we're going to be like a branch that's no longer receiving the sap, the life-giving sap. And eventually it's going to wither, it's going to fall off. And the branches that wither and die, they take away and they throw them in the fire and they burn them up because they're useless. Are you with me? But if we abide in Him and His Word abides in us, then we will even ask and the Lord will answer and there will be much fruit to glorify our Father. And so here in Ezekiel's day, it's no different. It was a situation where people didn't want to really hear what God had to say. They were just entertained by the good preaching. And as the music played, they were soothed sometimes by the music, but they didn't get beyond the external thing. They didn't get to the heart of God. God wants us to pursue Him. God is pursuing us, but He wants us to do the same. He's pursuing us. We should be pursuing Him. We should be listening to His voice. How many say, God, I want you to speak to me? We used this example last Sunday. But it's sometimes like the Father, you know, and the Son. The Son comes to the Father and He says, Father, you know, what can I do for you? And He says, well, how can I please you, Father? He says, well, go clean your room. So, I was glad to hear my Father's voice. I enjoy hearing my Father's voice. But He went away and He did nothing. And so again, He comes to His Father and He says, Father, I want to hear Your voice. What can I do for You? And so one more time, the Father says, okay, Son, if you really want to please Me, go clean your room. And so He was delighted to hear His Father's voice. But then He did nothing. He walked away. And so the third time He comes to His Father, and He said, Father, I want to hear Your voice. What do you think the Father's going to do that time? Maybe just give You a look, right? Or a stare. You know, sometimes we're like that. We're saying, how come God's not speaking to you? Guess what? God is speaking. The problem is we didn't listen to the first instruction. We need to get back and get recalibrated. We need to get back to our first love. We need to go back and say, wait a minute, how did I get here? What went wrong? I need to get back to my first love. I need to fall in love with Jesus again. I need to get my mind off the muck and the mire and the things of this world. And I need to recalibrate with Jesus. And I need to start tuning into His voice. And I need to repent and say, Lord, I'm changing my attitude. From now on, I want to hear You, but not just to hear You, but so that I can do what You say. Say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, you can be cleansed without being holy. In Luke 17:11, it says, now it happened as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, Have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go, you show yourself to the priests. He didn't say that they received the healing. He just said, go do this. He gave them an instruction. Go show yourself to the priest. And what did they do? And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. They heard his voice. They cried out. He replied. They heard. They obeyed. And as they began to step out in obedience to what they heard, it says what? They were cleansed. Now, it doesn't stop there. We need to get this. And one of them, verse 15, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a little whisper, and with a loud voice, glorified God. Oh, we don't like those people that shout, make all that noise. You know, when you've been, can you imagine being a leper and having to walk around in this garment and covering yourself up and saying unclean, unclean, and everybody's, oh, stay away from the leper. And you live this awful, excluded, rejected life. And God does a miracle and heals him. How many know that you're going to shout? You're going to rejoice in your miracle. Look what the Lord has done for me. And so one returned and with a loud voice glorified God. And not only that, he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he wasn't even a Jew. He was a half-breed. He was a Samaritan. He was an outcast in that society. Isn't God good? How many know that God's not a respecter of persons? And so Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? You see, there are many people who come to church or in an hour of desperation, they say, God, I'm sorry. I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And God says, okay, I will. He forgives them and he cleanses them. And now where are they? Where are they? Have they returned to give glory to God? Did they fall down on their face before him to give thanks and worship the one who has saved them? Come on, I suggest to you folks that some people get cleansed, but they never become holy because they're not truly born again. They just have the experience of being cleansed. But unless you're filled with God, unless Christ is in you, you are still outside the covenant. Are you with me? I don't care what the preacher says. You will have the witness in you that I am now a child of God. And if you're a child of God, that means that the Spirit of Christ is in you. And the Spirit of Christ will cry out, Abba, Father. You will be a worshiper. You will praise the Lord when you're born of the Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you hearing it today? And in verse 18, it says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now listen to what he said. And he said to the one, he says, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This man was justified. Hallelujah. He didn't get cleansed only. He was also justified. And you know what, folks? The truth is that God the Father loves us so much that he wants us to be with him. He wants us to worship. Do you worship your wife? Do you worship your husband? Do you worship people that you love? Do you worship your ball team? In a way, we do, because we're designed to worship. I give credit to my wife. I esteem my, at least I should, right, honey? Is it not true that sometimes, folks, are you ever proud of your kids? When they do good and they have an accomplishment, you're proud of them. You're a proud parent, right? It, in a sense, that is what worship means, is to show worth. To give credit where credit is due. Are you with me? So we all worship. What we need to understand is this, that God who is the author and finisher of our faith. God, who is our creator, who has given us life and breath, who created us with a purpose, and that is that we might walk with him, that we might enjoy fellowship with him, deserves our highest praise, deserves our worship. Are you with me? He should be worshiped. There should be no other gods before him. Even family and friends and people that we enjoy, sometimes family even gets prioritized above God. Are you with me? And so this man was justified because he returned to the Lord. In other words, he didn't just walk away and say, thank you, I'm done. He returned to Jesus. He came back. I know you're here today because you decided to follow Jesus. And we're not here to be entertained. We're here to hear from God. We're here to worship him. We're not here just to be served, but we're here to serve. We're here not to just ask God for stuff, but we're here to give glory to God. We're here to bless him. We're here to minister to him. I've discovered that when I make God my priority, when I bless him, when I live to honor his name, then he honors me. Do you want to be honored? Honor God. You want to be blessed? Bless God. Do you want to be glorified together with Christ? Then glorify your Father in heaven. Take upon yourself the form of a servant, just like Jesus did, and serve the Lord. Listen to his voice. Do what he says. We have a short time left. The curtain's just about ready to close, folks. We have a short time left. Now, today is the day of opportunity. Today is the day that God is pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. Today is the day that the grace of God is being poured out. Today, if you will hear his voice, if you will hear him, don't harden your hearts any longer. If God says stop, you stop. If he says go, you go. Your faith has made you well, saved you in soul as well as body, because Jesus was the object of his faith. Father, thank you for your word today. We say yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. My soul says yes. Lord, we will listen for your voice. Maybe you're here today and you feel like maybe you've been hardening your heart to the voice of God. Are you willing right now to make the decision to come back, to return? Say, Lord, I'm coming home. God, I want to submit myself to you. God, I want to listen to your voice now. God, I will obey your word now. Lord, I said yes before and did nothing, but today, God, it's different. Today, God, I want to live for you. Today, Lord, I want to surrender my heart to you. Lord, I ask you, open the ears of my heart because I want to hear your voice again. I want to be led of your Spirit. Lord, I want to walk on the path that you have ordained for me. Lead me in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Show me the way. I come to you, Jesus, and I worship you. And you only. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Where can we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Speak, Lord. Take a moment. Would you settle your spirit right now? Take a moment. Just say, speak, Lord. For your servant is listening. You know the Lord has been speaking already, hasn't he? Hallelujah. Just say yes. We're all in, Lord. Who shall I send? Who will go for me? And as Isaiah said, he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. You tell the Lord that, do you mean it? Say, Lord, here am I. Use me. Send me. Hallelujah.